Hey guys, welcome to episode 2 of Casey and Matt Super Show. We're super stoked this week. We had our good friend James Hill on talking about, you know, his 8-Arm Studios and things like that. We did have a blast this week, and we are frankly astounded by the numbers that turned out this week. We had over 130 subscribers, and that makes us really nervous. Considering that, we're not going to dumb down the podcast. So if you want anything done to the podcast, you can email us at camsupershow or camsupershow at gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. You can now subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, which we really implore you to do. And I really hope you enjoy this.
Yeah, just so you guys know, we tried to stick with more of a format this time as much as we possibly could as two, or I guess three children that just want to talk the whole time. But we started out with some music reviews just so you guys can kind of hear what we're listening to and possibly get some new stuff on your
horizons.
And then we kicked it off with James and talked about his production company that he has, 8-Arm Studio, and took us a while in there, but we got to kind of reminisce about our past and our childhoods and stuff, which was really fun. And then, of course, like always and forever, asked our little curveball question at the end to see how he would respond with that. So it was fun. We had a lot of fun, so we hope you guys do too. Mm-hmm.
So let us know any feedback you guys have, which we definitely are trying to make this a little bit more organized for your guys' sake, not for our sake, because we would just go off on a limb.
Yeah.
So if you enjoy it, let us know. If you don't enjoy it, let us know. So without further ado, this is episode 2 after the worst intro of all time that we all love. Thanks, guys. Well, everyone, thanks for making it to number 2, which is, like, I'm really excited about. Welcome to Casey and Matt Super Show. I am Casey.
And I am Matt.
And today we're joined by our good friend James Hill, which I'm really excited he's here. Every time we have a guest, I'm probably going to be really excited about it. So we will get into the excitement in just a moment. We're trying to change up the format a little bit, try to make it a little more organized for you guys, because I know that the last one was a little bit of chaos, which I didn't mind, but hey. We got a lot of people to please now.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to like do some music stuff up front and then just launch into it. So a couple of things that I wanted to mention and something that we're really adamant about because we like supporting music and we like trying to get it out there as much as we can is just highlighting new releases, any shows we saw, things like that. So I'm going to jump right into it and just talk about a couple of releases that came out within the last time that we did a podcast. First one would be Touche Amore out on Death Wish Records. They just put out a new record called Is Survived By. I wasn't a huge fan of this band. I did purchase their last record, but I definitely...
Parting the Sea?
Yeah, I bought Parting the Sea, and I liked it, but I don't know if I got it. And then I picked up their new record, and I'm really, really digging it. And as a total bonus factoid, their manager is Blaze James, who also manages Coheed and Hot Water Music. So I think these guys are going to have a really, really big year. So I'm stoked for that. Let's see. Into It Over It on Triple Crown Records. The record's called Intersections. Not going to lie, I liked Proper. This one was a little... It's a lot different. You know, it's a little fuzzier. Songs are pretty much similar. If you guys aren't familiar with this band, they sound pretty much like a cross between... That was a hard P. A cross between like American football and, you know, anything Owen would do. So definitely if you're into that kind of vein of music, you'll like this. So that's another one. People always give me flack for this, but I really like the Kings of Leon, and they just released a record this week called Mechanical Bull. And it doesn't really sound like Come Around Sundown, and it really doesn't sound like Only by the Night. It's funny for such a big band. It doesn't sound like there's a bunch of hits on it. It's a great record, beginning to end. So I won't get too much into that because I don't think that
anyone
our demographic will really love that record. But I really, really am taken with that record. It's a great output for them.
I think it's
And it's just cool to see a band that's had so much commercial success, just release great record after great record and not, you know, feel the need or feel obligated to make hits. And I think that's because they've worked with the same producer since, the one right before Only. I can't think of it. Huh? The one that starts with Knocked Up. I can't think of it. Anyway, let me see. Oh, and this is the one I really wanted to talk about. And this
wait,
is
can I bring something up before?
Oh,
you bring
of course,
it up?
Please, yeah.
I just wanted to say one of my favorite bands is Protest the Hero.
Mm-hmm.
Huge, huge fan of Protest the Hero, and actually both James and I were super pumped when they released both the song and a lyric video for their new song off the new CD coming out, and the name of the song is Clarity. It's about like 5 minutes, 45 seconds long, and it's awesome.
Sounds awesome, for sure.
Yeah, it's a very, very cool song. They're, in my opinion, kind of going back to their roots, they lost Mo, their drummer.
Which I thought was going to be a huge hit to the band, because I loved Mo's drumming.
Well, Mo's drumming was incredible, the way that he
well,
played.
Well, for people who don't know who Protest the Hero is, I mean, let's explain a little bit about what they're about, like what do they sound like.
Well, they started off a... Which this is not something I've ever been into. They were actually a pretty political band when they started playing on the sides of streets, like literally protesting the hero and like our government, stuff like that. And then I think they kind of ditched that whole political act and they just went for just writing songs about epic, like weird stories and stuff. But then the release of Scurrilous, which in my opinion is their best album and probably one of my favorite CDs of all time. Was a time and place thing, but Scurrilous was more personal to Rhodey and things going on in his life. And this new CD, that whole CD had like barely any of their like signature screams and like heavy, heavy breakdowns. It's more melodic, mathy type of album. But this newest, have you even heard the new song?
No, I'm waiting for the record to come out.
It's, oh man, it's so good. And Chris Adler's drums sound so, oh. I didn't even mention that.
Yeah,
Chris
that
Adler
rules.
From Lamb of God is filling as their drummer for the record. He's not drumming for them permanently.
One thing I like to mention about this record is their Indiegogo campaign about how they set a goal for, I believe it was 125,000,
yeah.
And in what, 48 hours they had 300,000?
48 hours they had well over the 125,
yeah.
But it was after the 20 to 30 days that they had like 345 mm-hmm. or something like that.
And I imagine that whole fan campaigning thing will be something that we talk about probably in like a lot of episodes that we talk about music, because it's something that a lot of people have varying opinions on. But I don't really feel like getting into it right now.
Yeah, that's cool.
Which actually, I'm about to contradict myself, because the next record I want to talk about is actually the new Saves the Day record, which is the self-titled record, which they actually fan-funded through Pledge Music, which I pledged to.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then they ended up signing with, which is so cool, Equal Vision Records, which is probably, besides like Fat Records and Epitaph Records, one of my favorite record labels of, you know, my youth, you know, when Coheed and Cirque Survive and Fall of Troy and, you know, American Nightmare, you know, 100 bands, Saves the Day released their first two records on it. So that was really cool to see them sign back with them. For those of you who aren't familiar with Saves the Day, I could gush about this album all day, but I'm going to try to keep it concise. They started as kind of like a fast punk band who morphed into a more kind of accessible alt-rock band, who moved into like super hippie Beatles alt-rock, who went back to snarly pop punk and like punk rockish, and then they've settled into this nice, like, very aged rock band mode where it saves the day. Every time you hear a track, you know it saves the day. And the last three records, for people not in the know, were a concept record about how on their fifth album, In Reverie, they got dropped from their major label, you know, only a couple of days after releasing the record, and they were told they made the wrong record, and it was like this huge blow to Chris Conley, the main guy's just life. In the next three records talk about the kind of three stages he went through, like through the anger, through the depression, and through and how he got through it.
Yeah.
And Saves the Day, the self-titled record, is him. It's finally, after a decade, you know, it has nothing to do with that, so it feels really refreshing. And it's, they've had this ever-changing lineup of musicians and things like that, and they have the bassist and the guitarist from the last record on this, as well as Chris.
Cool.
And a drummer that like can't keep a drummer if their life depended on it, which sucks. Anyway, the thing that gets me so excited about the CD is the amount of energy, and even though it saves the day, it's still new. And I know, Matt, you and I have talked about this, how I feel like one thing that stands out to me on this record, is his vocal delivery. Now, to the average listener, it may not sound anything, you know, supernatural or spectacular, but as a huge, huge fan of Saves the Day, he's like taking a lot of chances on the vocals, and, and the vocal patterns are almost adventurous.
Well,
they're really ambitious.
The last song in the CD, which, of course, everyone kind of picks favorites on their CD. I have my three. The last song on this CD is hands down my favorite song. It's called Stand in the Stars. And it's kind of weird to describe over like an audio podcast, but the chorus is honestly one constant note that he basically sings mm-hmm. throughout. And the melody is very simplistic, but there's just something about, like, the chorus is the hook. It's the catchy part of the song. And with that, I guess that one note that he sings with, it's just the way that it blends with the music. Sounds super corny, but I know you guys will understand. It's like his voice is truly like an instrument with all. That's why I, to be honest, I was never a massive Saves the Day fan, not because I didn't like the music, because that stuff's right up my alley. I just never got into it, I guess, when I should have. And this new CD blew my mind, every single mm-hmm. song in the CD, because it's, so, to me, it is just like a beautiful pop punk mix of like dark verses with like bright choruses and just all of this stuff taking place at once, and it just gets me so excited to hear the next song. I love it.
I know we're gonna be so fired up about pop punk every podcast. It seems we can't escape it, and I know we're gonna come to a showdown someday. Some dick's gonna call, yo, well, fuck you, you like pop punk, you don't even know, and he's gonna be like 14 and I'm like, fuck, I don't know, I'm old,
but you don't like radio.
But no, I apologize for my voice because it's a little bit hoarse, and it's because I went to see Saves the Day, and I just wanted to say this. If they're coming to your town and you have not bought a ticket yet, I implore you, please, for the love of God, go get a ticket. They played over 30 songs. Oh, I know, one after another. It was the best song I've ever seen.
Well, what's awesome, too, is there a bunch of their songs. One of my favorite things is short and sweet songs. I just like that.
And if you like
majority
that,
of the songs on their CD are... I was looking at it in the car today, just kind of paying more attention to it. 2.5 minutes, 240, 208.
Well, as someone who like writes music and is like is always evolving through that, I can totally appreciate when you get so good at writing songs that you have it dialed in at 2 minutes and 30 seconds. It's phenomenal.
Yep.
It's insane. So anyone, if you haven't got your Saves the Day tickets, please, for the love of God, get them. As I mentioned, one of the artists that we were talking about earlier, Intuit Over It, is actually opening up for them, as well as Hostage Calm, a band from Run for Cover Records. They're pretty cool. I never heard them till that night, and they were really good. So that is a great show to go see. I apologize for my voice because I was singing like a little teenage girl or boy, and that is why I'm a little bit hoarse today.
What kind of sucks is I look up to Casey and his vocals, and he can't even hit simple notes for me when I ask him to sing.
Yeah, so. Matt, we do this thing where we sing around each other a lot. Started as a joke, but now it's just kind of a lifestyle, and I'm just really not delivering this week. It kind of sucks.
It's upsetting. Mm-hmm. But
well, cool. Whatever. Oh, yeah. Right on. So, James, what have you been listening to?
Actually, the new Guar album.
Knew you were going to say that.
Yep, yep. Because you know, like, as soon as that came out, I was like, dude, this album. Like, it's so good.
So we should probably plug that right now, because now I feel like an asshole because I actually really like Guar, and I did not buy that record, and it's out on Metal Blade
Records.
What's
the name of the album? I forgot.
Battle Maximus.
Hey. One of the most established, in my opinion, like crazy metal bands, like just because everyone knows the name
Over
Guar.
Years,
hey,
man.
But guess what? Still the worst album art of all.
No, see, dude, it's so bad. It's good. Like, some of them are good in a way, like From Hell, where it was like the
but
metal.
But it's like, it's campy.
But
that's the
it's
thing.
Like Microsoft
From Hell is, no, it's Beyond Hell.
Beyond Hell, yeah.
Yeah. I actually have that record in my car right now.
That one and this new record, easily my two favorite albums by them. Because they sound how they look.
Wait, the new one?
Yeah. Because they just sound... Yeah.
You're saying the new one?
Yep. Because they just sound metal and thrashy and like... I don't know. Like, some of the jokey stuff is kind of funny sometimes, but like... Well, I don't know. Like, I'd like it if it's heavy and funny and awful lyrics, then like...
Oh, of course.
Well, that's why I thought...
I don't know.
Beyond Hell was so great.
Right.
Like, they're like... they had this song where Jesus and Hitler like combine into Jitler. It's like the greatest thing ever. So I can't believe I forgot that CD even came out. Yeah. And I feel like a bad metalhead.
It's really good.
Well, I told you too, I never really listened to Gwar, but like, remember watching like Viva La Bam?
You know what's funny about Gwar is they've permeated social culture and everything so deeply that even people that don't listen to Gwar, A, know who they are, B, probably have a Gwar memory, which I think is like, oh my God, they nail it.
Yep. So many kids watched Viva La Bam, and I loved that show.
Oh, me too.
I loved that show. And when Gwar...
Anything those dudes made...
What's the lead singer's name? Do we know the lead singer?
It's Odorous Ungerus.
Yep. Okay.
Oh, wait, Odorous Ungerus.
Odorous Ungerus, remember he was in the bed with April, and she turned over,
and he was like, I'm scared,
like, oh, dude, I was done, because he's so big.
He's huge.
Do you know they make all their own shit? They make all their own costumes
stuff? Yeah.
Which is, like, the best part.
Killer. That's killer. Like, I feel
have you ever watched, like, Gwar videos from, like, 89 or 92?
Oh, yeah, dude.
They're
awesome. Yeah, they're so old. They paint on their abs, but they're really just beer bellies. It's hilarious.
It's literally just like a black line with more black lines.
Yeah, it looks
on
like a tic-tac-toe board.
Yeah. But like with an extra one.
Yo, Don Vito loves
Gavil Scalpini.
Yo, you jerk off. Don Vito, best part.
Anything Dickhouse did, I always loved.
Oh, yeah.
Were you guys like huge Jackass fans?
Definitely.
And now that it's fall and it's getting cool out, the fucking thing I remember most is like, I remember like getting home from school and then it like, and then the weekend would come and then Sunday night would come and all, dude, it was just Jackass.
Do you remember?
Wild Boys.
Yep.
How cool was it to see like watching MTV? In the late night, it would say like TVMA for mature.
Oh, man. Yep.
And you're like, I know Jackass is about to come on right now.
You know what's really weird is even we came on the tail end of MTV, and all like the only thing the kids know these days is like MTV 2, 3, 4,
MTV,
and just like, I just like, I think it was so cool to at least get the tail end of like that kind of shit, like Jackass and like Viva La Bam and like Wild Boys and like in anything like that.
Yep.
Well, that was like good memories for me, man.
Oh, definitely.
James, you said that you made a video. I think every single person has made a Jackass video of some sort.
Like the montage when they do a 96 Quite Bitter Beings and they put on the jack-lantern head and like throw cards.
Yeah, dude,
I can tell you that I've done that like 100 times. I'm like, trying to convince your friends that didn't watch Jackass that this is a really good idea. So, what do you want me to do? Okay, just chill out. I want you to push me in this cart that we just stole from Market Basket into that curb right there.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Like, do you want me to stop before you hit the curb? No.
Yep.
I want you to sprint with me in it and don't stop till
I promise I won't get mad if I get hurt. The second you like sprain your ankle.
And then the first time I ever blacked out was pretty similar to that. We had just watched Jackass. It was like November. It was super cold. The ground was frozen. I was like, I'm going to ollie that bark mulch. And I was going ham bushwhacking on my skateboard down this parking lot. And I like cleared the mulch. Hit the frozen ground, like stuck right into the frozen ground, smashed my face on the ground. First time I ever passed out due to like impact. And I was so close to my house. I walk back to my house and I have this black and blue that's half of my face. And I walk in and my whole family's eating dinner.
Wait,
and I just go like, oh, shit. And they're just like, go to your room. They didn't want me to eat dinner. No one gave a shit.
Wait, they saw your black and blue face.
I was like, Mom, I think I need to go to the hospital.
And go to your room.
Go to your room. You're going to bed without a snack, mister.
Yeah. After dinner, we'll take you to the hospital.
Yeah,
but can I play Mega Man? but tell us about that video that you
made. So it wasn't like just like one thing. We actually made a DVD.
Yeah.
Like me and
how did you have that technology?
So this is where my video career started,
That was Matt. That wasn't me.
Because he can't hit those notes anymore.
So in college... They at UMass Lowell.
Sure.
You know how they had the video center where you could like rent cameras out and stuff like that?
Yeah, the place is badass. I only went in there once though. Yep. I had no business
there. With Dave that always wore the vest, we always called him Dave Solo.
Wait, Dave Gutierrez?
Maybe. He had the mustache. He wore a vest always.
Dave.
That dude sounds like he stinks.
Dave Gorgonzola cheese.
But I would always rent
Matt's
out
contributing the stingers tonight.
I would always rent out video cameras over the weekend, whether we're going to use them or not.
Because that is badass.
We could. And that was back in the day. I mean, I still use tape now, but that was back in the day of like high eight tapes, like not HD. Like HD did not even exist yet. Like we had to use standard definition and had to use tape
Which
and had to learn how to use it.
Awesome.
And it did look awesome. I loved it.
I just spiced. Beware, guys.
I loved it. But me and my best friend Jimmy, who you know,
Know
as well.
Did he go to UMass Lowell?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is really funny because I met him like a long time ago in Boston, and then I knew you guys were hanging out, and I never knew.
Yep.
So that rules. Yes. Maybe we should hang out with Jimmy sometime.
Oh, hell yeah.
Jimmy, if you're listening, this is Casey.
Come hang
we
out.
We should
with
touch
us.
Each other.
cool.
But yeah, he had a video camera. He owned a video camera, and I had to rent one out. So like every time. We would always meet up at Applebee's.
Was that because you were poor?
Yeah, basically.
Bummer.
I couldn't really afford
being
a video
poor
camera.
Sucks. Yeah. Being poor sucks. Being rich rules.
Mustang rules.
D3 sucks.
Hey, go on.
So you would rent cameras out? For
yes.
The, yeah.
So we would always, probably at like 10:30, meet up at Applebee's.
Yeah.
At an undisclosed
right in
location.
Lowell?
Yes.
At Mission Hill.
No, actually, the one right, I think right before Lowell, or maybe it was in Lowell, but like near Tewksbury, near the Home Depot.
Yep.
Because we all lived in Tewksbury. Mm. So we would all meet up there. We'd hang out there. And then like at about 12 when that place was done, we would just go out into Lowell and do the stupidest shit you could imagine. There was like shitty things, but there was a lot more funny things. We did pranks on
it. So tell me about a funny thing.
So my parents, my grandparents
Stick
have
it
a cave
in my
house.
Puss.
Oh my God.
Dying to stick that in there.
Well, now we can't start over.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys, cut.
Take three.
So
fingers and jam them into my butt. That was a showstopper, everyone at home. Thank you very much. This has been Casey Elward's Super Show.
Wait, what about me? Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
All right, so worst shit you ever guys did to each other.
So my grandparents had a house down the Cape, and we would stay over there. Like it would be like 15 people staying in one, like a three-room house. So like everyone would be sleeping on the floor except for like five people, basically.
People, three rooms.
Right. There was two beds in like other rooms. There was girls there. It wasn't all dudes.
Well, you could have specified
that. And some dudes
that.
Maybe slept with each other. You don't know.
Dude, I love a sausage fest. So I'm equal opportunity. I need you to know that right off the bat.
Cool. Awesome.
That was not an accusation. I was just doing the math for the listeners.
Math is tough.
Math sucks.
So
let's get to the worst thing you've ever done.
My friend Mike, we bought a megaphone at Radio Shack,
rules.
And not the cheap little one because there was the cheap little one for like $30, and then there was the actual one.
Wait, how old?
Then there
were
was
you?
The Real megaphone.
Quick, there, yeah, like the one that like it Ultra was like $130, like
Jesus.
The one that the police like use. It had the siren and everything.
How old was this, real quick?
This was probably this had to have been like 2000. I'm trying to think.
Wait, how old were you?
2007, probably 2007, 2000, yeah, 6, 2007, somewhere around there.
What would have made you?
Shit, dude. Because
I was 18.
So that was like what, like seven? That was like 6, 7 years ago. So I would be like 20.
Right. God.
But we when
glad we cleared that up.
Yeah,
thank
yeah.
You.
So when we stayed over there, the like of course Jimmy always ends up falling asleep first, no matter where we're hanging out. Like I could go over to his house at 8 at night, we'd be watching a movie and he'd just fucking pass out.
What he doesn't understand though is like with a group of friends like you, and I had the same group of friends, to be the first one to fall asleep means certain
it's
death.
Awful. It's
no,
awful, and that's what kept
wrecked.
Me awake.
My friends
knowing.
Were really respectful. I would fall asleep at like 6 and they'd be like, oh, they tuck me in.
Oh,
like, read me
God.
A book.
Oh,
they give you what?
So they read me a book.
I thought you said a premium blow. Cool.
I mean,
a friend of yours.
So, of course, Jimmy passes out first.
What's the difference between a regular blow and a premium blow? Oh, I know.
Two hands.
Two hands, yeah. The pepper grinder.
Oh, shit.
Every dude at this table just got so uncomfortable. Not me. Hi, Mom.
So anyway, so he falls asleep. My friend Mike, like, we already decided. We had told everyone that, mm-hmm. like, if you fall asleep, you're going to get slayed by this
microphone. Well, when you're getting wacky at Cape Cod, I mean, that's, like, that's a thing. Once you cross that bridge, man, I've been there.
It's
all cares and worries like, melt away.
Done for.
I'd buy into that. Yo, first person to fall asleep.
Done.
Yep. Yep. So he's passed out in the living room.
You know what I wanted to say.
And everyone's there. So, like, Mike comes out with the megaphone, and, like, of course, I like, ran and grabbed the camera, and we're just, like, waiting. And then he just yells, wake up, like, right into his face, and the look on his face. If I didn't have the video camera, I'd be miserable for the rest of my life because I did not catch the look on his face. It was in night vision, too, because it was so dark. Man. Because, like,
so it looked like Paranormal Activity.
Right. Cameras back then sucked because they didn't have like
sold that for $1 billion to TriStar Entertainment.
This is very true. I wish I had thought of that. Shit.
Oh shit.
Wait, but, real quick, can you show everyone on this podcast what his face looked like? Go.
It like his eyes.
Yeah, no, show us.
His eyes just lit up, and because of the night vision,
can
there
you
was
guys
like
see
little
this right now?
The little circles.
Yeah, guys,
in his
look.
Eyes, he looked like it was like
guys
like
look.
He was a bat. It just like
he looked like a bat
because of like the dark and the glowing on his eyes. Yeah. It, you know, it has that like weird look.
Oh, he had that dark,
but
bat
he just
look.
Looked miserable. He just looked surprised,
a
scared, and
bat.
Miserable all at the same time,
well, how,
and he didn't know what to
what
do.
What other
with himself.
Adjectives could you come up with when you're asleep in Cape Cod and someone blares a $130 cop megaphone into your fucking maw?
Yeah. Do you realize he was probably like honestly night one. Perfect night.
Yep, yep.
Got my friends, James, my best friend. He's the man. I can't wait to wake up early tomorrow. Us do stuff together.
We're going
to
do eggs and Benny's.
And you ruined it.
Yep, yep. But we ended up, me and Jimmy ended up getting Mike back later because we knew that something was like that was going to happen. So he brought his bass. I brought my guitar around the time we were still jamming. And we left them in Mike and Nick's room. So on purpose, because we were like, oh, I don't know where to put this. Can we just put this in your room? They were like, oh, yeah, sure. So we left the amps in there.
Oh, yeah.
So then, not that night, but the night after, at like, we were watching Arnold movies till like fucking 4 a.m.
Which my favorite is Commando.
Nope. Last Action Hero, 100%.
Last
I
Action
guarantee
Hero?
You.
And that movie rules, but
everyone
like,
I'm going to go Commando the whole
everyone
time.
Everyone listening. And I can guarantee this.
I don't guarantee this because I think a lot of people are going to say Commando.
No.
Commando rules.
Dude, Last Action
for
Hero
sure.
was so
no.
good.
Because at
it
the end he goes,
movie, but
he goes, right, wrong. It's just the best. And he's like the song title, Petting Deer in Muscle Shorts, that
yep.
happens first,
yep.
first scene. Where he's with this girl like licking ice cream and it looks really weird because it's just like Arnold and this like, 10-year-old, and yeah. she's like, licking
I mean,
and then
I,
there's a deer somewhere, and it's just really, yeah,
I think
it's
the
sketchy.
Best thing Arnold's ever done was to Austrian Death Machine. I think that's the best thing.
Yeah.
If he had really done it.
Yeah, that sounds great. That was, like, do you want to talk about how the dude tried to murder his wife, too? Or oh, no, that wasn't Arnold. Oh, yeah. Neither was Austrian Death Machine. Cool, all right, cool. So, James, you guys were watching Arnold movies because you...
It's just there was no girls there.
Yeah, I mean, none at all. I mean, we were just all sleeping together and watching Arnold movies. That's all.
Makes sense.
So, like, as soon as, like, it was, like, 4 a.m, we kind of got bored and tired, and so we were like, let's, like, do this right now before we pass out. And the sun was coming up, so we're like, we just go in there. They're both passed out, and I had someone grab the video camera because we obviously had to play some stupid breakdown we ended up playing.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, yeah. Sounded almost exactly like that.
Good.
Actually.
Well, you guys rule.
So Nick ended up being awake for some reason because we come in there and our friend Chris had the video camera, points it over at Nick. He's sleeping but turns over and knew we were in there and he was just like... And then
nice.
And then we're like, okay, so Nick's awake, and he obviously doesn't give a shit, but Mike is definitely going to give a shit because he's usually the guy that got...
Mike's the give-a-shit guy.
Right, because he's usually, like, the dude that
There's
gets
always
people.
One.
And, like, if you do something to him, he's going to get pissed off. Yep. So as soon as we get in there, we plug in, crank it up as loud as we can, and Jimmy just goes, boo. bass slide, and it just goes into like this stupid breakdown.
James just goes into the sweeping riff that just melts bases. So what they did was they went in, they turned up their PV combos to 11, and it's
basically
feedback.
Basically,
which rules.
Yeah, yep.
But that's the old Jackass gag yep. when Bam goes into I think Brandon's yep. and he goes.
Yeah.
And no. every time he does the note, he punches him in the face.
No, that's to Phil. Oh, my that's God. That's to his father.
No,
right
it's not. Look it up right now. It's to his brother.
And yeah, right.
It's to his brother. And it's like, sucks. Yep.
Do you remember when Bam, I know we're getting way off topic, but when Bam used to get the boombox, press play, take a spoon and like a pan and just go,
ding, ding.
Yeah, and then just like start punching and banging. Oh, man.
Dude, those shows were like, I feel like that's the generation that we were, and that's why like no adult likes us.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Not our fault.
Because like, wait till you fall asleep, oldie.
Yeah.
You should be afraid.
Yep.
But I'd like to hear a little bit about, well, let me start by saying, James and I have a kind of a thing that I both have a passion in, and that's video. I mean, in general, like the art of making video and stuff like that. And just quickly for me, I did video. I went to school for video for 2 years, and then I said, "What?
In?
What do you mean?
Where
in?
Did you do it?
Oh, Fitchburg State University. So I went to school in Fitchburg, Mass, and I said, "There's no reason for me to be here." So I quit. Dropped out, and then I moved to Los Angeles. Like, this is where I belong. And I am back here because I've never not belonged in a place more in my life. But, and it's crazy. Like, I got back from LA, sold my camera, super depressed about the whole thing. Got my new job, and I just forgot about the whole thing. And honestly, I can single-handedly say that James is the one that has been sparking my interest back into this stuff. Because in the end, it's just like you. Since the day I could, like, hold a camera on my own, I was making videos.
Yep.
Run off the bus, run straight home, be like, okay, the parents won't be home for 2 hours. Make videos, like, stuff pillows into clothes and, like, pretend it was a person, like, throw it down the stairs. Like, all crazy, crazy stuff that I know you did, too.
Oh, definitely.
And it's just, like, it kind of sucks to get rid of something that important in your life. Like music.
I can't imagine that, though, because, like, when I was a kid, I was like starved for like a creative outlet because that's all I wanted to do. And I like envy you guys. And like you tell me that story and it pisses me off that you're like sold out and stole all that shit because like I was like, I want to make a video, but I didn't know how to.
Yeah. Dude, trust me.
And like, it's funny that you guys say that because you, James, mentioned that like you like grabbed the camera because you knew something sweet was going to happen.
Yeah.
We never had a camera. I remember like the Christmases where everyone would get those like digital cameras before everyone got iPhones and like they're before Facebook or anything like even before like MySpace was a thing. Everyone was like the thing you did was just take pictures of fucking everything.
And
like I always wanted to be a part of that, but I just never was. And I always am like it bums me out.
Yeah, my little brother had a digital camera before I did.
Really.
Like, he just, like, went to Walmart and bought this really gnarly, like, Sony camera. And I was like, oh, man, like,
so maybe rules, some, right?
And, like, he's not into that stuff. Like, he went to school for business and all that stuff. Like, he doesn't need, like.
So he's a stiff.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. He doesn't really like doing art stuff. So, like,
James'
like,
brother, man. I know that he loves you. He just does.
This is the truth.
Cool. Even though you're stiff.
He does rule, though.
So. After all these stories, I mean, you always had a camera present. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
I mean, walk me through when you fell in love with videotaping shit. Like, when you just, like, that was your passion.
I mean, honestly, it was when we were doing that stupid shit. Because we did it so much. We literally have, probably 48 to, like, 60 hours full of tapes of doing stupid shit.
Which is funny, because how, after
that's
it went.
Like 2.5 days of doing dumb shit.
When it went
shit.
To the mini DV tapes, when it went to that, those tapes were only max 90, well, like 70, 90 minutes max. So that's a lot of tape.
Yeah. Dude, Mike had a computer that he could actually edit this stuff with. So he's
was
the one that
PC?
Actually. Yeah.
Did he use Windows Movie Maker?
I have no idea what he
did
used.
Did he get a Dell?
I just know him and Jimmy.
That got
on
huge
their
laughs
computer.
In the room. Thanks to everyone.
Dell sucks.
Yeah, but like that was, it was like the time and place. Dude, you're getting a Dell. yo, Matt's going to spice right now. Oh, do it, do it. You can't get up there? Matt was going to spice into the mic, and then he's going to talk, and then he's going to get pink eye, and my life was going to be so amazing. And he bailed out at the last second. That sucks. So
I think that chair would have gave out halfway through. Anyway.
No, man. And if he fell, even better.
Dude, I literally broke this chair.
Cool, I heard you. And then the look on your face, and then no one acknowledged it. James broke a chair about 25 minutes ago, and it was amazing, and no one said shit.
I'm glad no one said shit, because I thought I was the only one that noticed.
Well, you'll get the bill at the door, but still, when was your video craze?
So, yeah, it was definitely when we were doing all of that stuff, because, like, my uncle got me my first Mac for college, basically. Like, I was going to college.
So you have good family?
He's a little bit well off.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. He's one of my three of my dad's brothers moved out to California. He is one of them.
So they all became porn stars.
Yeah, yeah.
So you come from a long lineage of just massive dongs.
I mean, yeah.
Good.
Basically.
Great. That smells like shit. Holy crap.
Sorry.
No, God.
But yeah, so he got me my first Mac. And then I had iMovie HD on there back
then. We don't
even
have iMovie HD now.
Yeah, exactly. Before, like, HD was even, like...
Did you upload it to iWeb?
No. No. That was even before iWeb.
That rules.
Yeah.
Your ProCare?
No. He bought it. The ProCare...
None of my Apple jokes are landing.
No one did. No one did. I don't even think Steve Jobs had ProCare.
Steve Jobs is dead.
That also killed around the room.
And that needs to be taken.
All I get is the worst looks.
Dude, why did that does not need to be taken anywhere?
That rules. All right.
That doesn't need to be taken anywhere except
over?
For two iTunes. That needs to be taken straight to iTunes.
So what just happened was I made a Steve Jobs is dead joke. Matt was offended, but then we immediately went into a breakdown. I don't get it. You're sending me mixed signals. All right, so your uncle that rules got you a Mac.
Right. So I was able to, like, edit these videos, like, just these little one-off videos on that Mac. So, like, anytime we did something stupid, I would bring it back, and, like, I could at least do something with it, you know? So it was fun. Like, the editing part was really what got me. Like, shooting was really fun because we did a lot of stupid stuff that we definitely should have, and I don't know how we haven't been arrested for, like, any of the shit.
Well,
that
you
we
still
did,
haven't. You mentioned the megaphone story, but you still haven't told us the best story. I want you to tell us the story that you would be afraid to tell your mom. I want it right now. Breaking.
I don't think there's any story. I mean, like.
I have 500 stories I would never tell my mom.
I would tell my mom fucking anything at this point. Like,
I would too, but
she,
like,
doesn't, like, I think after the tattoos, she's just, like, totally given up. She's not like I got my first tattoo and she almost passed out.
You know what's funny
about that was my arm.
Dude, this tattoo right here, I came home with the tattoo on my wrist and I walked by my mom and, like, my mom's, like, clairvoyant.
What is it a tattoo of?
I don't really. Do I need to say?
I don't know.
It's this one.
Oh, cool.
So I walked in with it, and my mom was like, "What's that?" And I was like, "Holy shit!" Because I was, like, on the opposite side of my arm. And then the next day, I got this. Less than 24 hours later.
Which, just so everyone knows, it's at least three times as big.
It's huge. Yeah, it's a clipper ship with my auntie's name below it, who died of cancer, which is her sister. So I thought that would make it better, but it didn't. She was still pissed. No, the first tattoo I have. We shouldn't even be talking about this. It's a little brontosaurus colored green. Maybe we'll take a picture of it and see who the first person to guess what it is from. And then maybe we'll give them a prize.
I was so close to saying it myself, but I'm not going to say it.
Do you want to say it? Do you know what it is?
Two things. It's either Dinosaur Jr.
Definitely not, but I love Dinosaur Jr. And
or
Jay Maskus.
It's Land Before Time.
No, neither.
Well, wow.
Oh, shit.
I have no bet. I have no guess.
What'd you say?
Is it We're Back?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Don't worry about it, Megan. He doesn't know.
Yeah, I was going to say it. Now I'm not going to say it.
Cool.
Rad. So tell us your worst story.
I'm trying to think because, like, they're like, I've already told you a couple of pretty awful stories. I mean, like, I don't think they get
no one's got hurt yet.
Shittier than that.
No one's crapped their pants.
My friend Mike did end up on fire at one bonfire.
This is the one I was waiting for. Let's hear this one.
So we used to also have bonfires.
Did everyone have bonfires? Because I had like mega bonfires.
Oh yeah,
I didn't have a place to have bonfires.
We used to have barbecue, where we used to invite all our friends.
Man, that sounds awesome.
Doesn't that sound awesome?
Yep.
And we planned it so good one summer. We're like, the actual first barbecue fell through, but we like planned it all out where people were supposed to like smoke in like a different place, smoke cigarettes, and it was called Prime Time. And then we were like, pig circles were supposed to be like the grill. It was fucking awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, so cool.
Your friend was on fire.
Yes. So across from his house, there was like this little path where they had like construction trucks and everything like that, and there was a even longer path where they like kind of they just dumped dirt and all that stuff back there. So there's mounds, and we used to just have a bonfire back there because there was enough space where we could not light stuff on fire besides what we needed to light on fire, because like he liked lighting a lot of stuff on fire.
So you guys like. That's badass, because we would have like bonfires in places we could have. So you like went into town property and just like started lighting shit on fire.
Basically.
That's the shit I'm looking for.
Yeah, we just
I'm trying to dig up this good shit, and you're just like, well, just like matter of fact. Yeah. Walk into town behind this dirt pile and just start a bonfire.
Light my friends on fire.
Yeah. Whenever anything sweet happens, we just break into a drum beat. Let's just we're gonna get that out here.
Yeah,
Swedish drum beats.
Swedish drum beats.
Swedish. I said sweetest, but Swedish is cool too.
Yeah, Swedish drum beats rule. Matt hates me because Max's actually a drummer. So we do this thing where like, he's really good at like pantomiming beats where he'll just do it, and I'll get like so revved up and look like I'm the best drummer ever, and I'll like twirl my sticks, and then I'll go ka, 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 and then I can't hold a beat, and he like pisses his pants because I have rhythm enough, but I am not a drummer. Ask any of my friends. Like, oh, I good. Only want to be... All right, thanks a lot. I only want to be a drummer, but I fail.
Hey, so you lit your friend on fire.
Yes.
Take three.
So, we would usually use, like, lighter fluid, like a can of lighter fluid or, like, a can of some type of gasoline or something stupid and just pour it in there.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So...
Was the flame
Did you ever
lit?
Were you ever worried about the rumor? Nice glasses. About when you pour the gas up, it burns all the way up to the nozzle.
So there was one time.
Oh fuck!
This is another story. My friend Alex, you know Alex Chu.
Oh yeah. Oh, I love Alex Chu.
He had a can of, I think it was like WD-40 or something. It was
Worst
like something.
Idea.
He sprayed it in there to like light, like to get it the flames higher. And
with only smart dudes.
Oh yeah, and he sprayed it in there, and you could see it coming back. But he lucked out and like let go like at the last second. Totally fine.
Do you can explode?
Totally. Nope.
No.
Totally.
Dude, you want to hear my worst pyro story ever?
Please.
This is the worst. This is what 10-year-old Casey was all about. I walked outside, and I'm on like a main street. My dad like got gas to put in the lawnmower, and I was like, oh, sweet, gas. I took a bunch of gas, and I poured it on our road, and I threw a match in it, and it exploded. And I was like, oh, my God, the whole street's on fire. I ran inside, and it was like a Sunday, and my mom and dad were both there. They didn't say shit. One was reading the paper. One was just like doing like nursing reports or whatever. I like break in the cabinet, and I get this huge colander, and I like fill it with water. I run outside, and like I'm trying. I do this like 3 or 4 times till the fire goes. I like Jesus Christ. I lit the whole road on fire. The whole circle of gas that I poured out, I just lit a match and threw it on there, and it's like, I'm in huge trouble. This is a huge fucking problem.
Oh,
like, if there's a cop that lives up the street, if he's leaving for a shift, I'm fucked.
Yep.
I'm fucked. And that continued throughout my life, where me and my best friends, this was our favorite game. I'll never forget it. Our four best friends is me,
It's Brett Boland, it's Sean Chenery, and it's Brennan Casey. And we used to get together at each other's houses. We used to walk to Market Basket and buy the three packs of 120 matches.
Okay. Yep, yep.
The sticks. And we used to play Match Wars. And each of us used to get 120 matches and run around with a box and light them and whip them at each other. So, like, when we were, like, 13 to 15,
in
all our sweat...
No. Fall with the dry leaves.
No. Dude. And all our sweatshirts had, like, fucking holes in them. And then one day when Airsoft was, like, a big thing, we made this Bad Larry where we took three of the... You know the aerosol things where you'd stick them in and you'd shoot the airsoft guns?
Yep, yep.
We duct taped three of those together. We put it in a box. We put a bunch of unlit matches in. We poured gasoline on it, and we duct taped that together and had a fuse, and we, like, lit that on fire. And we were like, oh, my God, this is going to be a nuclear bomb. And it did nothing. And we called it, like, Bad Larry.
That's
oh, wow. God.
Hey, real quick, just to tell you... somewhat of like a flame story, but this is for my brother because I just think about this all the time as like the worst idea.
This one's
time.
For Chris.
Yeah, this is for my brother Chris. He and his friends were like, "We're like the Clutch Crew. We're like, we'll live forever." So
what does Clutch mean?
Being cool. So
like that's Clutch, man.
Yeah, cool, right?
Sweet. Sweet? Yeah. Clutch with a K.
Yeah.
Like the
with
camel
the,
clutch.
With a Z.
Do you like wrestling?
Clutch. anyway, no, my brother and his, I think two or three friends, took a knife and put it over an open flame until it was like red hot and then cut an X into all of their arms. And still to this day, they
Dude,
have an X there.
That rules.
And when my mom found out, she beat the shit out of my brother. My mom was so relentless, like. My son will learn.
Just for everyone that knows, in the 90s, it was perfectly acceptable to beat the shit out of your kids because it was the only way we learned. Thank
yep.
you.
Hey, cool question for the end. So, can we move around? Do you mind if I ask a question?
We used to put cigarettes out on our arms because that's how we thought we were cool. We would smoke Camel Lights.
Oh, whoa. Cool. James, if I could ask you,
yes.
And this is... I want this to be kind of a shameless plug for you just because it excites me still. But you have your own production company.
Yes, sure. This is what we've been meaning to get to.
Yeah.
Do you mind talking a little bit about it and kind of just pitching
yeah.
yourself a little bit?
Yeah,
it's really
yeah.
cool.
So, I mean, I started this. Actually, I came up with a name for it around the time where Patrick Bossy had a hardcore band called the Jonah Vale. 8 Arms Studio is the name. It took me a while. I remember thinking up like names and stuff like that in college, like written down in a notebook, a bunch of words and how to
figure
it out.
Do you have any of those? Do you have any of those like honorable mentions?
No. Like it's funny because when I first started, remember you saw my Gmail email the other day, Victim of Design, that one.
Yeah.
There. So like that was like the first, that was like the first rendition of me doing stuff.
And then you
and I
up.
Never really like called it anything, and I was like, well, that after a while, I was like, well, this is a stupid name. I would find something like half decent.
Yeah.
So I did. But yeah,
just remembers of like all the worst band names I've ever had.
So, like most of my friends are in bands, so I am not in a band, so I decided to help them out in other ways with like video and photo stuff. So, that's where. Everything started, basically.
And premium blowjobs.
And yeah, a little bit of those on the side.
Oh my god!
Well, I know.
All right, this is only funny because I have to let this cat out of the bag. Why don't you tell me what we're doing over here, James?
Oh yeah, that thing right there—that is a camera that I am actually filming this
right,
podcast.
Right before we plug James's awesome company. Let's take us through. We're not just doing a regular podcast tonight.
We are doing a video podcast technically at this point because I've got a couple cameras set up because since I do video work, I figured I'd do video work. So
you should see some of the shots he has. They're so like unique and cool.
They're so like.
But if you guys would like to, I mean, I think it's a little bit early to see what we look like because you guys are creeps, but. There is 2 video cameras going tonight, and they are definitely recording this podcast. And for every like I don't want to say inside joke, but for everything that we're laughing about that you guys aren't laughing about, which, let's be honest, is the whole thing, is you'll see what movements and things we're doing throughout that. So I think what we're going to do is put our podcast up as normal, and as to promote James's company, he's going to put it up on his website, which is going to be rad.
Yep.
Probably not the whole thing, but he's going to put a greatest hits compilation up.
Yeah, we'll do like a clip or something like that just to... kind of sum it up.
Kind of wet the palate of the listeners.
Yeah, I don't want to ruin like the whole show.
Yeah. You don't want to see how boring and ugly we all are.
Yeah.
Well, Matt's actually kind of good looking. And his girlfriend agrees because she just looked up.
Cool. No, but...
let's talk 8-Arm.
Something that we all share a passion in is music.
Yep.
And I think one of the coolest things about your production company that you have is that, at least that I've seen, almost everything's involved music in some ways. Music videos, live shows for the Beneath the Sheets,
yep.
All this different stuff. And I like that because in the end, to me, it's important to kind of do what you love, not like do what's based on how much money you make, stuff
right,
like that, right?
Right.
And
which is probably none if you're like any of us.
But no, I think it's cool because you stick to music because that's a huge passion of yours and video at the same time. So if you think about it, the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
And I totally agree. And actually, to the listeners, James actually has this like really rad reputation of if there's a local show with like a good band on, he doesn't miss it. And you know what? Sometimes I do. And as a musician, that makes me feel like an asshole. But you know, James is notoriously always there, which is like, you know, big ups on him, man. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, man. I gotta do what I can to help my friends. I mean, most of my friends are in bands, and not just in bands; they're in good bands. Surprisingly enough. All my friends are in good
Luckily
bands.
Enough.
Yeah, because, Luckily. Like, honestly, like, if you
Everyone has that frame of that band there. They're just like, hey, man, how do you like this? And you're like, this is so good. It's so good, man. It's just, like, so good.
Rules.
So what's your favorite track? All of them. All of them.
It's hard to pick. I mean, they're all
track
so good.
Track 4. There's only 3 songs in
the
EP.
No, well, you get that bonus track. Yeah. No. No, we don't, dick.
Oh, damn. But, yeah, like... I mean, like, I've done stuff for you guys when you were doing Headfield and Headfield.
You certainly have, and that was the only video that was ever done for us, and because of that, my chops were so wet. No, but that was really awesome, and I know you also done video for Astronoid, which we've always been, like, super proud of, and you make me happy.
I do what I can,
so,
man.
So, dude, this is your forum. Let's talk about your company.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
awesome. Like, James, by the way, is also an awesome graphic designer. I got to throw that out there.
Yeah, like I've been doing a lot more video stuff because everyone thinks they're a graphic designer and they just Photoshop so easy to torrent. You can just get Photoshop and open it, and all of a sudden you're a graphic designer for some reason.
Dude, even think about the fact that like with like iPhones and camera phones, like
oh yeah,
and like the new slow-mo video, everyone's a cinematographer now.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So like, for you to be able to like be like, all right, well like. I'm an artist when it comes to this stuff, so like I can actually make your stuff look different and good.
Right.
You know what I mean? Have some value to it. I think
right.
It's pretty cool.
And the great thing about like what I've been doing is like I've heard from like a bunch of my friends that like I somehow have my own style. Like if they see something, they know it's mine because it has its own style. It has its own look to it. I mean, I didn't really develop. I just developed. I didn't
Dude,
really like
do you think that
look
has,
for a style.
No, this is a serious question because this is something I wanted to talk about. Do you think that your love for horror movies and the aesthetic of that, it just in general, you think that ties in to the way you film and the way you edit?
I would assume so. I mean, I think it's just basically like horror movies, definitely. Music, definitely. It's basically like a combo of the two. So like, I know like. I started off drawing when I was like I've been drawing since second grade.
Yeah. He was that like, kid that drew like weird shit in the future. Like had to call
I'm
your
sure.
mom and be like, "Your son's a freak."
Yeah, you drew the treasure chest full of dick.
I didn't mean that.
But yeah, like in second grade, like my second grade teacher, like who I actually taught at our work now.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah, she came in for a class, and I taught her this time.
That rules.
Which kind of ruled. But she's cool shit. And she actually told my mom when I was in second grade that, like, you should probably send them to, like, an art school or something like that, like, while I was in second grade. And I was like, well, my friends are here, so I don't really want
to. Did you
so
go to
I
art
didn't.
School?
No. My friends were
You
at
probably
school,
could have
so
seen some sweet tit tests.
like third grade drawing boobs.
Well, I mean, if you were in third models. Grade and they were in third grade, it's like, cool, right?
That'd be weird.
You could have
drawing third grade nude models in third grade.
Well, fuck it.
It doesn't matter when you're that young.
Well, I mean, it doesn't because, I mean, you're the same
you
age.
You all look the same.
Awkward now.
One has a little dingle and one has a little something else. One has a dingle, one has a vingle. A vingus and a dingus.
Oh, my God.
No, but that rules. So,
but yeah, so
do you think that... So, I mean, do you still draw?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Like, sketching is always, like, something that, like, helps me get my mind off of things. Like, if I just listen to a song and just start drawing stuff... I mean, you saw... Like one there was like one time I was drawing.
Don't put him on the spot, man. He's nervous.
I remember I threw something up on Instagram, and I forget what I was listening to, but I was probably miserable because that's usually when I end up drawing.
Hey, aren't we all miserable though?
Yeah.
No one can make anything good and not be miserable. No one's ever made anything sweet happy.
Yeah, if I'm ever like stoked, I'm like, man, I'm so stoked, I want to draw.
If you're ever happy, you never want to do anything creative because you want to do anything else.
Right. Exactly.
Creativity only spawns from being the most depressed fuck ever.
Right.
Trademark Casey Everett.
Cool.
But I remember I put something up on Instagram, like starting a drawing, and like it was like, well, I wonder how this is going to turn out. And then it just turns into this gnarly, awful looking monster. And I remember Matt commenting on it, and he was like, holy shit.
Yep.
That was like that thing with like eyes and teeth and weird stuff.
Like weird, like,
and with axes and stuff for like arms.
The weird slash. Like octopus,
yeah,
kind of thing,
yeah.
Well, which I actually saw and was amazing, and has the upside down cross in its forehead.
Oh, that's the evil blooper.
It's
that
almost
guy too.
It's almost like the inker from Mario.
Yeah, that's what I was going for. Yeah.
hey, to actually, just kind of promote you a little bit more. Something about James' style that he has is he loves that 8-bit. Retro video game style, but it's
but
not
always with a horror aesthetic, and that like gets me. I have stiffy. I get wet.
Dude, no, honestly, he's made so many cool logos. Like his, I have a massive. The biggest poster in my room is an 8-armed studio poster that some guy printed for you apparently for free.
Yeah,
and it's this
that was for free.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah,
it's like this. It's almost it's like a 2x4 vinyl banner.
It's as yeah, it's as big as the map that if you guys watch this video.
Wait,
right
is that really
Casey,
that big?
Yeah,
it is
huge.
That big.
I thought it was like that big.
No, dude.
No, it's like that big, man. Yeah,
it rules.
Yeah,
it's like 3x5 then.
Yeah,
3x4.
It's a
yeah 3x4. Yeah.
Well,
fuck,
if anyone loves like 8-bit retro looking cool stuff, a lot of his like design and his ideas stem from that. Like you said, though, with music and horror in mind at all points. Yeah. And I just love that art style so much, dude. I get so excited when you make new stuff.
Well, I've worked with you in the past, and I know that you're such a reasonable guy. I'm not afraid to say, like, hey, I don't like this. Let's do this.
Yep.
Or a lot of times you'll do something on your own volition. I'll be like, and I want to steal it type thing. Like, so like rules. But no, I think that anyone that's in a band or that is promoting any kind of thing could easily use you. I mean, it doesn't necessarily need to be a band. I mean, just anything creative if they need anything.
Yeah.
I mean, you're so, like the thing that I'm always – because I don't possess those skills and I don't pretend to possess those skills. So for someone to be so – I mean, to be creative, you have to bare your soul.
Yep.
You have to be honest. You have to say – you have to be as willing to say I like this as you are willing to say I don't like this.
Definitely.
And I think you make that very easy, and that's something that A, you handle with aplomb, and B, you're just really open to that experience.
Yep.
And I think that any creative output, you should really, I mean, it's not that you're just, someone's paying you and you benefit from that.
No.
They should also be benefiting from that because it's, you're realizing their concept, and I think you're able to do that.
Right.
And that's to me, it's like, it feels great.
My girlfriend's definitely crawling on the ground like an urchin.
Yeah, that didn't feel great. Like, I was trying to say a bunch of nice shit as this bitch was just being sketchy.
Hey, that's my girlfriend.
She comes out of the bath after taking a pwah-pwah. And like, she's like, oh. And she comes out and she goes, oh, that stinks. And I'm just trying to sit here and say like serious things about my friend.
Jeez.
Jeez.
Hey, do you mind if I bring something up?
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Something I think
you're just
is really
getting
cool.
showered with compliments, and this must feel horrible for you.
No, honestly, it's just because
he just did the pump it up gesture, which you'll see on his web chat.
No, I mean, something that I think is really cool about what James does is that in LA, part of the reason that I kind of failed out there, like I can admit
you didn't
it.
Fail.
Well,
that's
I'll tell you
up.
This. Let me tell you this. Honestly,
did you try? No.
Listen,
this LA didn't failed, fail. Dude. LA
no.
failed.
Get no, this
LA
is
LA sucks,
hey,
man.
Check this out. When I called my grandfather on the phone, this isn't about me. I want to make this about you. But
yeah,
when
no,
I called my
it,
grandfather
man.
On the phone, in tears, didn't want to talk to my mom. Last person I wanted to talk to because I was so terrified to disappoint my mom.
Oh yeah,
because I was the one who convinced her that I wanted to go out there, but it just wasn't me. So I called my grandfather. I was like, Grandpa, like, I just failed and I feel so bad and I don't want to go back home because I don't think mom's going to want me back. And he said to me, he goes, Matt, did you try? This is exactly what he said. He goes, did you try? And I said, I did. I really feel like I did. And he said, then you didn't fail. LA failed you. And I was like, right then and there, I was like, I know I'm making the best choice of my life to go back home and go where I belong. But my thing is this, in LA.
That was beautiful.
Isn't that awesome?
Definitely.
Dude, I had a similar, my grandpa almost said the same thing to me right before
Please.
He died. That was insane.
Can you
just about music, you know? And he just goes, the only thing you can do in your life is try to do the thing that you love. Holy crap. That's so heavy.
That rules.
I know this just got super heavy. Oh, my God.
That rules. No, dude, grandfather's rule.
That's the truth.
State rep. Bob Elliott, everyone who lives in New Hampshire.
Please don't throw the signs out that appear on your lawn.
Yeah, he's been state rep forever now, but let's keep him in office because he knows what he's doing. Hey, but in L.A.
He's not one of those corporate, what are they,
no,
fat cats.
No, he's just like a wicked hardcore
He's a thin cat.
No.
Don't take his money, Obama.
In L.A., everyone was out there to do the same thing.
Blow?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's why I didn't fit in. Acting
yep.
or shooting film.
Yep.
So out there, making a name for yourself was honestly impossible.
Yeah, dude.
Unless, and a lot
Your
of people
name
are going to disagree.
Matt Dog.
I'm back here.
I don't know how you didn't make it, because I'm surprised that Peter Jackson wasn't like, hey, Matt, you look like a
Doesn't talk like that, you disrespectful bastard.
Oh. He wasn't like, Matt, you should move to pow pow and start a new life without technology. I'm so surprised.
I sense some sarcasm. Hey, can I tell the story so we can get back to James? In L.A., everyone does the same thing, so making a name for yourself is impossible. But in my opinion, James made a name for himself in this area.
100%.
That, like you said, when there's a show called James, I need a logo. When Super Stoker need a logo, I know you guys, you're a friend of mine, obviously, so I came right to you. But honestly, I didn't even think of anyone else. And I went to a school with a lot of people who did graphic design. And the first person I was like, James, because he gets music and all this stuff.
Totally,
you know what
man.
I mean?
You know, I'm glad you did, because dude, as soon as you were like, I want you to do this, and I was like, this is going to be the best thing.
But here's something that's so amazing about that, too, is because even for me, when I know that anything that I've done creatively, I needed something, you were always the first person the only person I called. But like, even for example, the Super Stoker logo, I remember you drawing something up and you not liking it, and you drawing something up, and finally you guys got to the best thing.
Yep.
And that's what I think needs to happen with a creative relationship, where it has to be two sides. One can't be afraid to say that I don't like it, and the receiving end can't be like, you can't think that like, oh, what? Huh? You didn't like what I made?
Yeah,
just like, it's so easy to work with you, dude.
Yeah. I can't do that thing where it's like, they're like, come up with this. And I'm like, how about this? And they're like, yeah.
No, because you know that like, you have two separate minds and you can't ever nail it on the head the first time.
No. If I do, I'm really lucky.
Part. Yeah.
But like, usually it's one of those things where like, I won't. Like, the first thing I put out there, I'm like, okay, this is an idea. Like, I'm not going to go ham and, like, make something and, like, final product and everything. I'm like, well, here you go. And then they're like,
well,
I don't want
it. I'll take my check now.
Yeah. Like, because I know if I did that, we're probably going to need more work. Something's going to need to be changed. So, like, I usually have to drop something rough first, and I send it. And then, like, you got to kind of work on it from there.
It's a dialogue.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Do you, like, I guess... I'm sure you work on something. Like, for example, and you can be 100% honest.
Yeah, yeah.
When you first made the Superstoke logo, I do remember being like, this is cool, but, like, that is not what I'm looking for and stuff. Like, when you work on something like that and then you get feedback that's, like, not, like, this rules. Because if you notice, when I sent you text, I was like, man, this is awesome, but, like, I'd sugarcoat it.
Right.
Like, do you just wish it was like, nope, this is not what I'm looking for, this is what I want, or, like, do you appreciate that, or does that stuff kind of bum you out? Because I feel like that stuff would bum me out.
I don't mind, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I would rather you say, like, okay, that's great, but let's do this instead, or if you were just like, dude, that sucks, something different. I don't care either way.
Cool.
Because,
I think that's a sign of a true artist, honestly. Yeah, I really do.
I'm doing this for you, not for me. So, like, if you don't like it, dude, then, like, what? I'm not going to be like, well, then, fuck you.
Yeah, my shit's the best.
Yeah. Well, that's really good. So,
honestly, I can
take it or leave it. Like, I can't do that, man.
I can respect the shit out of that.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there are some.
And that's why you're on this podcast.
Truth. Thank you. There are some times where, like, If I know their decision might be a bad decision, maybe I'll pull back and let them know. I'll be like, listen, like, this is maybe why you don't want to do that, but if you still do, I'll do it. It's yours. I don't care. Like, there's been times where I've been working on, like that movie that I edited, that full-length movie that I edited.
Yeah.
There was a lot of times where, like, the director was like, hey, like, that's really cool, but, like, on this scene, we need to change this and this and this and this and this. And there was, like, a bunch of scenes where I was like, well, that sounds dumb. We probably shouldn't do that. If you want people to take you seriously, you shouldn't do this and this and this. But I can do the rest. And he's like, okay.
Why don't you plug what that did? Are you proud of that result?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, definitely.
Well,
like,
let's plug that right now.
I'm on IMDb because of that.
Please so that say what it is.
Yeah, so it's this mob movie that was actually filmed in the area, like in Methuen and Lawrence and stuff like that, called Boys. And
Boys with a Z?
No, B-O-Y-S. Nope. Just like,
thank God.
Literal.
Just a bunch of boys.
Yeah, I know, right? But it's actually really funny because Spaz for AAF is in it.
What?
Yeah, I'm serious.
Shit.
Legit. It's the funniest thing because I remember editing the whole, like, editing this thing, and the whole while through, I'm like, I know that dude's voice. I was like, what the hell? And then, like, as I was talking to the director, because the director was Daryl. You know Daryl Silva that comes in. Do you know Daryl? Do you guys know Daryl Silva at all?
Yeah.
From the area at all? I mean, he's a director. He's done like a few like Christian film. He does a lot of Christian.
Yeah, but
films
he's won
now.
A bunch of awards.
He has. That's very true. Like for this movie, he's won a bunch of awards.
The Boys.
Yeah. Yeah. So like
it. You know what? I even remember it airing. He aired that. Not only, he got into Sundance.
Yep.
And he did in California.
Yep.
Damn.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And you edited that.
Yep. And it played at Chunky's in Haverhill for a bunch of times and in Lowell at the Lowell Cinema.
Because we just went to Chunky's last night and I thought Haverhill Chunky's was the only one to watch Breaking Bad.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
is amazing. Did you edit that?
Wait. We were in Pelham. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he was
what
saying,
I was saying is I thought Chunky's was a.
Only in Haverhill?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Chunky's Rules. If anyone hasn't been there, plug real quick, Pinball Wizard.
Yep.
Oh, my
Truth.
God.
Gosh. Truth.
If people haven't
so
been
So, James, I, and Matt went to Pinball Wizard last night, and I'm not saying that I'm not a romantic guy, but, like, my girlfriend loved it, and that just, like, got me so excited because
that kind of rules.
We played
for sure.
The coolest pinball games. Like, I played The Simpsons and fucking Super Mario and Dracula. I had to play Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, definitely.
Because Brent Hines from Mastodon would have commanded me to.
Totally.
And I beat Matt in Mortal Kombat, and then we played Gauntlet Legend.
You did not, did you? Oh, you did. Who did you play as? You played as Scorpion.
No, I did. Dude,
Sub-Zero.
You have nothing. Yes, Sub-Zero is the only character I play as.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man.
And me and James Cyrax. Have future dates to go there together because it was my favorite place ever. That was amazing.
Yeah,
and Chunky's was like a really cool time.
Yep.
Breaking Bad rules.
Yep.
I hope everyone liked the ending. If you didn't like the ending, then you probably don't like the show. no, but that was cool. So you edited this movie.
Yep.
And I mean, what I know of it, it showed in a lot of fucking places, man.
Oh, definitely.
That's insane.
He pushed that out. Like, he did a lot of promo work for that, which is really cool.
So that must have been... Was that the most work you ever did on anything?
Definitely.
What? So, is that the most...
proud you've ever been of any product? What's the thing you worked on that were you the most proud of?
I mean, it's tough to say. Like, I know mean, that
tough,
was like
it's tough to quantify that, but like as disregarding whoever commissioned you, like what's something that you did that was just like super organic, and you're like, oh, you know what? Like this is it. If someone were to Google you or go on YouTube and say like this is what I want to check out from this guy, what would be that thing?
It's tough, man.
It is.
I mean, like usually everything that I do, I try to make better than the last thing that I did.
Naturally.
So like it's usually the last thing that I did, honestly. Like
I love
every
that answer.
Every
That's
time.
That is such
every
a quality
time.
Answer. Yeah.
Because like as of right now, because I haven't finished the Sub-7 and the Undead music video, which is coming out killer.
Dude,
way
I
saw, better than I expected. All right,
I saw a little bit of that today, and I thought Jay was watching a movie.
Dude, that rules.
All I saw was this close-up of this fucking, like, maw.
Oh, dude.
Of these vampire teeth, and, like, her, like, licking her lips, and just blood, like, dripping.
Jay is a guy that we work with, and his alter ego is... Alistair Darkwater, which he actually, do you mind talking about just real quick about Jay's thing and how you kind of,
because Jay likes to employ you a little bit. Let's talk about Sub-7 and the Undead.
Oh, definitely. Like I've done pretty much everything that they had to do visually is mine. Like their design stuff, flyers, video stuff, their shirts, all of that.
Regardless
stuff.
Of what you think of their music, because people can definitely have varying opinions. Their website rules.
Yep. They do good stuff. And
so
it's the
huge kudos to you, man.
Yeah,
you definitely rock it.
Hell yeah. The great thing about their show is it's not just like any other like rock show. It's actually like a rock opera because there's like scenes involved because
and narrators.
The, right.
Like that,
because it's a like the whole first album started as a story. Like his story about like this gypsy curse that turned him into a vampire, but the only way to get him out is to fall in love, which he finds out in the set. And I can't remember if it's the first album or the second album, but I know he ends up talking about it in the second album.
First album is Awake in the Night. Second album that has yet to be released is Symphony in Blood.
Right.
Which is the best album title of all time.
True.
And I'm going to steal it and write a metal album really quick before he ever puts it out.
Right, go.
Just write like a two... Just write like a two-song EP to get it out there real quick. But yeah, so like the...
Symphony in Blood, two-song EP.
Yeah.
What a waste of a title.
You just got to get it before, man. That's all that counts. But yeah, like so in this new song, basically he finds out that that whole like finding love to break the curse is totally false. So he goes on a rampage to find, like, this gypsy. This was, like thousands of years ago, because he's a vampire. He lives, like, for eternity.
Well, Jay is 350 years old.
Right. So
at least.
So he goes on, like, a rampage to kill their children, basically.
Oh,
like,
God.
Not, like, their immediate descendants, but
like
over
a couple
the
of their cousins,
right?
Fucking whack.
Right. So he's basically like, okay, you lied about this curse. I'm gonna slaughter all of your family. So that's basically what this new song is all about. But you know, like the show is basically like a story on how his character evolves through these CDs,
which I personally have seen. I saw the first one. I didn't see the second one, and it's like. Like, as I said, if you don't like the genre or the music, like, it's still a show. It's still a viable show. It's still very entertaining. He does a great job. I have this problem where even if I don't like something, if someone puts their heart into it, I have no choice but to like it because, like, I can only empathize from, like, I'm a creative person. Like, if I know that someone has put, like, the time that I think that I would have put into it, like, it doesn't matter what it is. I find something positive in it,
definitely.
Like, no matter what.
That's awesome.
But I saw snippets of the music video today, which are excellent. When is that coming out?
October, next month. We actually filmed a lot of it, like,
last fall,
yeah.
So is this going to feel good to get off your plate?
Definitely, because like we filmed for pretty much 12 hours one day, and
Jesus
like
Christ.
Maybe like 5 hours the next day. But we've had it for a while, and I know they've been like, when's it coming out? When's it coming out? Not like
so. Has it just not been edited, or do you guys have extra things to do to it?
There was other shots that we needed,
mm-hmm.
Which we never really had time for because, like, between then and now, I've been busy. He's been busy, and like the scenes that I basically when we had it, I went home and I was like, okay, I was throwing footage in there. I was like, okay, this isn't gonna fill the whole song. And the song wasn't finished yet. He gave me like a rough, mm-hmm. so he needed to.
You
finish
guys did a video on a rough?
Oh no! Like it's finished now. Oh,
okay.
So that's another thing that I had to wait for because he had to get that violin player in the studio and everything like that.
I think that's the cut we saw today with the violin player.
Yep.
And she fucking rips.
Yeah, it sounds so good. I'm so glad like, because he was just going to be like, "Fuck it, I'm going to do it without her." And I'm so glad
she rips
that
hard that the last note she rips, it sounds like a theremin.
Oh my
like
god, X-Files dude, it's
theremin.
So good.
It's like it's rad.
Can you?
It's so
do
good.
An example of like.
And everyone's going to stop listening then because I can see the track and it looks hideous.
That just clipped so bad.
Oh, God. Man. So bad. But hell so yeah. So it, that's going to be out in October.
Yep. So and I'm pretty close to finished with it now that the track's finished. Now that we got some shots that that we needed for to fill in certain areas.
Sure.
And then they're like I got like this like a couple of effects that I bought. For this music video,
just
to make it, to make it look a little bit cooler, and look a little bit more, you know, kind of creepy. I mean, it looks creepy as is, but like, mm-hmm. I just wanted to like add to it so it looks a little bit more real.
Dude, those extreme close-ups on the girl's
fangs,
mouth,
right?
Bleeding.
Yep.
So
that's what I needed,
awesome.
Man. Like I filmed that at one of their practices like a couple months ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Basically, like they needed something for their show to put in the background for that song.
Oh, yeah.
So he's like, yeah, just it's basically going to be little clips of the song, but like periods of black in between. So I didn't need to finish the music mm-hmm. video for it. I just need to put scenes in there mm-hmm. for like every 20 to 30 seconds.
Yeah.
For this 4-minute song. So, he wanted me to film that for it. Cause I had that for an idea for the music video.
Yeah.
And I was like, we need that. So that, basically, like, as soon as I finished that, I was like, okay, now I really want to finish this music video. So this is what we need to do. Let's just finish this.
Is it finished now?
It's almost finished. I'm currently downloading those fog plugins and stuff like that.
Plugins, that's a nerdy thing to talk about.
Fucking plugins.
Plugins rule.
They do rule.
I live and die by plugins. So here's the thing. If someone wants to get in contact with you and they want to hire you, please educate us. How do they get in contact with you?
Definitely. So various forms of contact, email, phone number, whatever. Email would be james@8armed.co. We're not doing com, we're doing CO.
And don't give your phone number.
No. But phone numbers on the phone numbers is on the website if you do need it.
And you have a Facebook page. Please plug that.
I do. Yep. Facebook/8armstudio. So that's
Twitter
in there
as well.
Yep, Twitter it's just 8armed because at that point I decided to just shorten it.
Mm-hmm. Shorten handle a little bit.
Yeah, because like the whole studio thing, no one really likes to type a lot because people are lazy. People barely like to read, so typing is a big deal.
Not only do they barely like to read, but like I like to give humans a little bit more credit. And the thing is, like with the online stuff, if you don't type it exactly how it is with all this modern technology, it seems to not come up, and it kind of sucks.
True. I've had so many times where that people are like 8armed studios, right? And I'm like, there's no S.
There's no S.
Thank you though.
It's not plural because I don't have more than one.
Yeah, I kind of really don't even have.
You know what
one.
I do have more than one of?
What?
Friends. Here right now. All right,
dude.
That's 4 breakdowns in one podcast.
This is turning into a Bury Your Dead song.
Oh shit! You remember when they did the Disney covers? It's like
no, oh,
oh
yeah.
My god, they did Beauty and the
Beauty
Beast,
and the,
Beauty
and
the
breakdown.
Oh god! I don't care what bridge this burns. They are the worst band that ever lived, in fucking ever,
dude.
I have nothing to say about that.
No, band. That's fine. That's right. Understandable.
Cool.
Man.
So you can find him at 8armed studio.
Yep.
And then 8armed at Twitter.
Yep.
And then plug your Gmail one more time.
Oh yeah, so like Gmail was the old one, mm-hmm. but the actual email is just james@8arm.co or james@8armstudio.com because that is still in progress with the whole situation because cool. I
That's
have
amazing.
Two website names basically.
And again, just to remind everyone, we are videotaping this podcast, so where are you going to display that? Because we're going to separately take the audio and you're going to take the video,
right? So it's either going to be on the video page on 8armed.co, or it's going to be on the blog part of it. I haven't figured it out yet, but either way, it's going to be up there. You just one click away from clicking blog if it's on blog.
Sure.
Anyway, so
cool. So I mean, you're probably going to make a greatest hits, and then you're probably going to make you can probably just stream the whole thing, which I know no one will watch. Who's going to want to watch any of us talk?
I don't want to watch
it. I will probably watch it.
I would probably watch it. Yeah. Earlier, so.
That was the most fun I had all night. And that's actually probably be funny to watch. Right?
Yeah.
That'd be all right. That'd be all right to watch. I'd watch that again.
Cool. So that sounds good. I had a lot of fun.
I did too. I do have our little question. I don't know. I'm gonna kind of pass this to you guys.
So here's the thing, guys. We're gonna be really bluntly honest with you, because we think we have a lot of interesting friends and we talk about a lot of dense shit. We want to end each podcast with something that just completely cleanses the palate. Maybe not mentally, but just topical. So I think Matt is going to surprise me with a topic right now. We're going to ask James one last question, and we're going to thank everyone for listening and just remind you that we are live on iTunes now at Casey and Matt Super Show. You can find us on Twitter at CAM Super Show. You can at that name. We do have a Facebook page, and that's really all we do. So thanks, everyone, for listening. There's a ton of you now, which is super surprising. I just want to do one plug. Is that okay?
Please, please do.
Last episode, we had our really good buddy, Ryan Dooley, on the podcast. And if you listen to the last podcast, you know that he's on Top 5 of Death. But I really want to plug that podcast.
That's
really
cool.
Bad.
Please.
It's Top 5 of Death. You can see them on Facebook. You can subscribe to their podcast. It's my favorite podcast right now.
Yeah.
And not right now, that's going to change. They are my favorite podcast. Yep. It's amazing. They do top five lists. There's three of them. They each count down. It's a different topic every week.
Three completely different personalities too, which is
cool. Hilarious. It's my favorite podcast. They really inspired me to start this one. And, I'm really grateful to them. They're smart guys. They're intelligent guys. They're funny guys. And that's cool. So, James, thank you, infinitely for coming on. I know you had to walk all of 10 feet.
I know.
But
sucked.
Still, it was cool. So
it was cool.
Matt's going to blindside us here with some shenanigans.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to ask, just because as maybe you saw from last week or at least heard, we like to, like Casey said, cleanse the palate with a question that has, A, nothing to do with anything we've talked about, and things that are just kind of weird.
Make Al uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Al's plug.
Help me out. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So this one's not going to be as shitty as last week, but I will say, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I have thousands, but the worst time that your parents beat the shit out of you.
Oh my God, dude. Can I start?
My thing is this. I think that we just put ourselves into a corner again because last time Ryan was like, I don't shit my pants. Yeah. I wait till I go poo-poo in the potty. And I have a feeling that
Can I
James
start? Because mine's
going
to be dark.
Yeah, please. But I just want to know, James, are you prepared with anything?
I'm glad you're going first because I need to think.
Good. As long as
I need
you
to find
got
something.
Your ass kicked at some point. But please,
Casey,
I'm
sure I did.
Oh, man. This sucks, man. This isn't going to be as funny as last time. But people don't like poo-poo, so maybe they'll like domestic abuse. So here it goes. So, I'm not going to get into it because this is our podcast. I'm sure he'll beats and pieces of this. But, my dad's, a rad guy. He's in the hospital right now because he just had a stroke. So,
oh, bummer.
Yeah, total bummer. This is anytime this comes up, it's just going to be the biggest bummer. But
So one day I woke up and I wanted to watch a VHS with my sister. So I go. No, it wasn't porn. No, because I was like 8. It was probably Aladdin 2, Jafar's Return. And I go, Dad, the VHS player isn't working. And he just goes, okay, let me try. And he puts it in. And he starts rewinding the VHS. And I'm impatient as an adult, but it's just rewinding, making it sound. And it's taking a really long time for 8-year-old Casey Oward. And I just go, Dad, is it done yet?
What's that? What was that?
He backhanded me so fucking hard that I march straight upstairs. And my brother and I were sharing a bunk bed. And I just went face down in the bunk bed and just didn't say anything and just went. And Donnie's like, what are you doing? And I just go, Dad, just hit me. My dad hit me so fucking hard. It must have been. It was like a.
It wasn't his hand. It was his arm that hit you.
He hit me with his forearm in the fucking recoil. Oh, my God. That was the worst time I ever got hit. And oh, I got spanked a lot, too.
Oh, man.
Dude, it was so brutal. It sucked, man. I was, like, scarred from that.
I feel that's like...
I feel are you happy that you wanted this?
I remember I asked, can I ask this?
Like it so was that was it. So, like, I was like, man, this is taking forever. And like, he was like, because he was probably drunk and hungover really bad. I probably would have done the same thing. Can't wait till I have kids.
Cool. So
great. So, Matt, this is your choice now.
Yeah. So... I guess I'll go next. So in the 1990s, I was a young, young boy.
I probably should have mentioned that mine was in the 90s as well.
No,
everyone got their ass kicked in the 90s.
So in
the 90s ruled, though.
Well, they ruled except for this.
My nickname was Faggot in the 90s. That's just the way it was. That's just the way it was. It was the 90s.
So
it was just like, you're an asshole, and that's what they would say. I'm just getting real right now. It's just what happened.
So guess what? I forget how old I was, but my brother was 8 years older than me, so always 8 years apart. He was able to play mature video games when I was not. My mother was very strict at the time about that stuff, but at the time, Mortal Kombat, the original for Sega Genesis, was mature, but not for blood, because the only way to get blood in the game was the blood code, which is
A-B-A-C-A-B-B.
God damn it. That was supposed to be mine.
No, because I wanted the glory. I wanted the gory.
My mom would go to Babbage's or Electronics Boutique, whatever was in the mall at the time, and say, like, well, why is this mature? And the guy was like, it's mature for strong, brutal, realistic violence and for this and for this. But I guess apparently
you got Mortal Kombat in the mall?
Sorry.
I never went to the mall as a little kid. I have no memories in the mall.
So check it out.
So I don't mean to interrupt your story, but that just blows my mind.
Yeah, of course.
Cool.
That's where my brother went. I mean, I didn't get video games, period. My brother got them, and then I played them.
Well, I had two other brothers, too, but, like, continue.
So my brother entered in the blood code, which I'm sure you all remember, made that game so brutal at the time.
They were brilliant.
They were incredible.
They were like, hey, moms and dads, buy this. No, it doesn't come with blood. A, B, A, C, A, B, B. Perfect.
So my brother found that blood code, and we were playing it, and my mother has, like, teleportation skills when she knows that her kids
Your mom has a cheat code? That sucks.
I think all moms do, dude.
She found out, and she came upstairs, lifted me up by the belt loop, rather,
man.
And threw me to get to my... What sucks is because all of my getting my ass kicked stories were because of my brother, but because I was always shadowing my brother, I was in the way. So I would get my ass
kicked. So many times my mouth was rinsed out with soap because I would call my brother like, fuck you, too.
You would call him that?
Oh, my God. Like, they would say something, I would say it, and I would get my mouth, like, just wrong with dial. Oh, God.
But that's delicious.
No, that would be like rule now. Incredible. Al says Tabasco sauce, and I'd be like, that would be a pleasure. That would be a reward.
No, and then what's it called? Anyway, my mom picks me up by the belt, it throws me into, you know, those like really hollow wooden closet doors.
Oh.
And I like basically went through it because my head was all 20 pounds of me at that time. But
only gained 20 pounds since then.
Well, I lost 10 last 4 days ago. No, but then I guess just to quickly back that up, another thing was my brother was in the process of beating Road Rash, and he had the Diablo 3000, the final bike that you could buy in the game.
D3 sucks.
But it was way too fast for its own good, and my brother crashed right before the finish line. You know how the guy gets up?
Oh, yeah.
And he's like a little sprite running back to his bike.
Your bike.
Everyone passed by him at the last time, and my brother just goes, fuck! Boom, my mom's upstairs. Why am I standing behind my brother? I should have learned my lesson. Thrown against the closet door. And then my mom crafted a wooden spoon because she ran out because she would destroy us with them. Whittled right there.
From a fire log.
Fire log.
Ow, mom. Ow. Ow.
Anyway, that's my story. You had more than enough time, so tell us.
We're not promoting domestic abuse, and we're gonna do something weird every end of episode. I just hope you guys hang with us.
I feel like my parents are usually really chill. I feel like my grandparents.
Oh shit! Oh man, this is getting deep.
They're classically trained.
Oh so. Yeah, I'm trying to. I can't even remember, man. I'm trying to think of a time that like I know for a fact that my grandfather has probably fucking hit me before. There's no doubts about that. He's a good dude and everything, but like my parents are usually pretty passive. That's probably why I'm so goddamn passive. But
yeah. You rule though.
But like I can't. Like I usually ended up beating myself up a lot more than my parents did when I was younger. Like I just remember there was one time, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and I don't know why. Just because it was the stupidest thing to do. Like I remember, I used to live upstairs. We had a two floor house. My sister lived across from me. Me and my brother lived in the same room, and I decided one day to wrap myself up in a like giant comforter and dive down the stairs because it probably wouldn't hurt because it's a comforter, and it sucked because I hit a lot of stairs.
You suck.
Someone kick your ass when you got to the bottom?
No.
That sucks.
I was just thinking, I remember hitting the ground and then like the comforter
opens up. Wow, my childhood's
up.
Great. Let me go back to the top and go down because I would have got fucking murdered.
I know. My dad was sitting because the living room was right there at the end of the stairs. And my dad just sitting there. And he looks over, and the comforter opens up as soon as I hit the floor, and I'm just like, and he just shakes his head, and he's like,
yeah, but how cool must it be for parents to be like, I should, like, it's been almost 6 days, I should kick my son's ass, and then his body flies down the stairs, and they're like, well.
Dude, I have a story about that. I got in my brother's fucking sleeping bag, and I was wrestling my dog, and my dad was leaving to work, and he kicked me in the fucking head. Kicked me straight in the fucking head because I was wrestling with my dog in this blue sleeping bag. That was my brother Donnie's. Kicked me square in the skull. Was under 10 years old.
Oh my God.
Sucks, man. I learned my lesson. Well,
yeah, dude. Man. Dude, you're like such an adult now.
God, the only fights I've ever been in was with when my dad kicked my ass as a kid.
Did you deserve everyone?
Probably 75%
of them. Yeah, because I deserve... my brother, you know, like when there's two walls like in a hallway that are close enough to each other that you can like put your feet up on the wall and then put your back against the wall and like kind of like hover above ground for a little bit of time. My brother was like, dude, check this out. So my brother was like, let me check. So he was like, okay, no studs there. This should be a good place. This should be a good place to put my feet. So he puts his feet up on the wall. The second he puts his back against the wall, his feet go through the wall. He falls down. And guess what my brother's genius idea was?
It was Matt's idea.
To take one of his NHL posters from
just
his
put
room
it over it
and put it down in the very elegant, classic-looking living room and
I
just tape it there. My mom comes home. It's like
rips
a
fucking poster. My what's this?
Then your mom starts a breakdown and annihilates you.
Anyway, so once again,
I've done that
Casey
before.
And I kicked ourselves in the ass by asking a question where a Ryan Dooley was like, "Well, I've never shit myself. I maybe
and James has never gotten his ass kicked,
because
so we're gonna have to hang out with our guests and find out what makes them tick.
I'm actually remembering a time now that we're talking about holes in
please
the wall.
No, did your dad throw you through a hole?
No,
well, I don't want to hear.
Well, see you guys. Thank you.
So I remember a time where, like, I don't know what I did, and I feel like this has happened on multiple occasions, because the door in my room when I used to live at my parents' house when I was little has been replaced so many times. So I remember, I don't know if it was me and my brother or if I did something stupid, but I remember having to hold the door back. Having to hold the door back.
Save the day.
And my mom kicks a hole in the door, trying to like fucking open the door, and now there's this hole in my door, and then I didn't know what to do, so I just like I just opened the door and I was like, oh shit, and then she
I was like I'm right here,
immediately beat the shit out of me.
Did she beat the shit out of you?
She did beat the shit out of me.
Or did she hug you?
No.
Thank
she
God.
Was pissed.
Oh, thank
she
God.
Was pissed. I don't know what brought that on, but I can tell you the door in my room has been replaced at least like three or
what's
four
times.
What's
funny is this was probably 4 months ago. Dancing with the Stars, her favorite contestant, just got
shit.
Kicked off.
Bradley didn't win.
Oh, get on here.
Six. No.
Well, I hope not. My
I got to take you guys to the house I grew up in, because you can see all the battle scars from the house. But that's for another place and another time. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. This has been amazing. James, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
You can check them out on all the links that we talked about. Again, you can check us out on Facebook. You can check us out on Twitter as of today. What?
I'm looking up on my phone what Twitter is.
Twitter, yeah. You can check us out on Twitter. Also, camsupershow@gmail.com, camsupershow@gmail.com. If you want to hear anything, if you want to hear any fucked up stories, or if you want just something to be on the show, you want someone to be on the show, you want us to say something on the show, I'm not going to say we're going to say everything, but like maybe you have some good suggestions that you want to hear.
I mean, something that's really cool about us having the Twitter and the Facebook and stuff is that we're doing it so that anyone who does take the time out of their lives to listen to this, we want you to participate, and we want to do things that please you guys. In the end, I think we're our own best friends.
So we're going to do shit
like
that makes us feel good, but if it makes you feel good, we want to make you feel good too.
Exactly.
So that's it.
So, guys, thanks for listening. I do appreciate it. It's been a crazy week so far, just in regards to how many people have actually taken the time to listen to this, or the amount of subscribers and everything we've gotten in just 5 days. So I'm honored to be on this. This is fun doing this with one of my best friends. So, thanks for listening, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for having me.
See ya.
Good night.